Today's episode is sponsored by NRB TV. Are you looking for truth on television? In today's society, it's hard to find truthful messages. NRB is determined to change that. Their goal is to consistently deliver impactful programs that help you dive deeper into God's Word and provide the practical tools you need to put your faith into practice every day. Learn more at nrbtv.org. Again, that's nrbtv.org. You're listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Todd Atkins, and I'm here with Daniel M.
Hello, hello.
I love that.
It's always hello, hello.
Geiger doesn't have like his own thing.
No.
Yet. We need to help him find that.
I've heard some people around Lifeway beginning to say hello, hello.
Really? I think it's your influence.
Maybe.
We also say no worries.
No
which
worries.
Which is a Canadian thing
yes.
as well. Or
although
is it Australian?
I've not seen anyone or heard anyone do your thing.
What's my thing?
What?
Oh, I've heard people do that.
Oh, really?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
It's catching on. Like, I don't know.
It's like the wave.
Fruit Loops and Cheerios and stuff. Everybody likes it. It may not be your go-to, but man, when you have it, you miss it.
There we go.
All right. We are here today with Jamie Ivey, and we're really excited. We both have interacted with your husband a bunch over the years through conferences and events. Her husband is Aaron Ivey, and we actually had him on with Matt recently to talk about his book, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We'll talk about your book some and also your podcast. So I have no words. I'm trying to find words about when I heard about your podcast and I started to look at stats and numbers and all that. I mean, we let's be honest. Anybody that listens to this podcast knows that we're numbers guys and
yeah,
we love to
about all the analytics
dig into analytics and all that stuff. And we're readers and all that. But man, that thing has just blown up. So podcast is the happy hour, not to be confused with the happy rant. Please don't confuse it with the happy rant.
No, no.
They're kind of the opposite.
Completely different, yeah.
Have you listened to the happy rant, Jamie?
I was going to ask, is that really a show?
It is.
All right. So Jamie, why don't you tell us a little bit about the happy hour podcast?
Okay.
Apparently
I'm failing.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Okay.
I'll take
well,
over.
So the happy hour of Jamie Ivey, that's my podcast, and it's almost 4 years old, which
really?
Is
oh, wow.
crazy. Yes. Isn't that crazy? So I started it almost 4 years ago, obviously, and I spent a very small time in radio. I mean, like the smallest time ever about 6 years ago or 7 years ago. And that, what I experienced there, I loved. And so I decided, well, I'll just start my own show and be my own boss and not have to get up at, you know, 4 a.m. for a morning show.
There you go.
And so then I started the happy hour and I wanted a show that represented what is it like when my girlfriends and I get together. So we would talk about our families or what our passions are or what we're doing or what we're hating or soapboxes we're on or the Olympics. I don't know, just whatever's happening. And so that is kind of where the happy hour was born.
That's awesome. I love it when you had Kathy Lee Gifford on.
That was
awesome.
Like, you know, you have these dream guests where you're like, okay, she's one of them. And when I got the opportunity to have her on the show, at first they were like, you can have 15 minutes. And I was like, well, I need like 45. I don't want to sell out my show just because it's Kathy Lee. And then finally they're like, okay, you can have 20. And I think I pulled like 25 or 30 out of her and I was happy.
It was so natural. Oh, totally. It was so natural when you guys interacted. So,
well, thanks. It was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah. So we'll be sure to link out to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey, your podcast, in our show notes. And you also recently published a book, If You Only Knew, with B&H Publishing. So why don't you give us a little synopsis of that and we'll get into our questions.
I did. The book is about 2 weeks out into the world. And so the last, you know, 6-8 weeks have been crazy around here at the Ivey household. But this book is really important and passionate for me. I tell a lot of my story from before I knew Jesus and then early starting to walk with Jesus and kind of some identity things that I struggled with shame and feeling inadequate in ministry, feeling inadequate to be a pastor's wife. And so I kind of talk about all of those things through telling my story. And really, really what I want people to get out of it is to see that our stories, they do matter. Our stories do matter and that God is in them. But also that our identity is strong in Him and our identity is not based on what we've done or what we haven't done or who we've been. And so that is the hope for the book. But If You Only Knew is because I spent a lot of years worried if people knew, what would they think? And I think a lot of people struggle with that, especially within the church, which is sad.
So be sure to pick a copy of that book up. And you know what? I've heard of other podcasts doing this, and I've heard people announce that it's like National Podcast Day, even though it's not really a thing. So I think I'm going to announce on the 5LQ podcast, today is National Tell a Friend About a Podcast Today.
And
last year, my wife, I mean, I'd been listening to podcasts for like 10 plus years, and I'd always be like, Christina, you gotta listen to this. And she just was very intimidated. And last year I finally showed her which shows to get. And she is voracious on the podcast. And I told her about yours too. And I mean, she got so excited about it that a few weeks back we actually started a podcast just in our home, one on parenting and marriage, because she's just loving it. So now in that launch, she's telling all her friends, and all her friends are like, I don't know. I've heard about podcasts, but I don't know what to do. So today is tell your spouse or tell a friend about a podcast and show them how to download it. And if they're a female, download the Happy Hour.
Send them
with Jamie
to the
Ivy.
Happy Hour.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
It's so funny, Daniel, is because I've been listening to podcasts forever. Well, when I was listening to podcasts, I didn't know I was actually listening to a podcast. I thought I was just listening to like the pastor's sermon I missed on Sunday.
Okay,
and I would download it. So you remember the little, what did we use? iPods, right?
Yeah.
You would download something.
Yeah, I remember. It wouldn't stream. What?
No, I know. So, but I'm a passionate podcast listener, and I listen to lots of shows, but I meet people all the time, weekly, who are like, I don't even know what a podcast is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It feels like it is everywhere in our world, but there are so many people that have no idea. Yeah.
So let me ask this. When you are out, so there are people that, you know, like we do a lot of coaching and consulting and, events and stuff. But I find that people are more excited to talk to us about or talk to me about, you know, one of our podcasts.
Oh, completely.
Than they are anything else.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, it's crazy to me that the podcast, that mode, that vehicle is so powerful.
Well, you think about it, right? If you read an article or you read a book, I mean, a book is a little bit more than the article because you get stories and stuff. But if you're thinking about an audio, you are in their ear.
Totally.
Like,
right.
For a long time.
Well, and you can hear.
Yeah.
Okay. So people that listen to us, they've got to know when things are clicking and connecting with a guest and when it's not.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I see the same thing. And I hear people tell me all the time, like, I feel like I know you because you're with me on my drive every day into work, or you trained a marathon with me. And I was like, well, that's the only marathon I'll ever train for. So I'm glad I was with you. But they feel like they have a sense of who you are, which is great.
Dr. Rayner, who has been on the podcast a time or two, he says that, way, way more people listen to read his blog, but he always says, you know, blog readers are fans and podcast listeners are family. Mm. They really, you know, they really get you, they understand you, and they feel that personal connection through that platform.
All right, so today, National Tell a Friend About a Podcast Day. We have announced it is a thing officially.
My wife may actually listen to this one because it's with you and not just us.
All right,
she listens to plenty of podcasts, just not ours.
All right, let's do this. Let's get into the first question. Jamie, who are you learning from?
You know, this is an exciting question because I think there are people who are doing amazing things in the world. And I think that you would have a hard time looking around and not seeing someone that you could soak up what they're doing. I'm thinking in particular, there's a couple of friends that I know up in the Dallas area, and they put on a conference called Sparrow Conference. And they're all out of the Village Church up there in Dallas. And Rachel Joy, Latoria Wilson, Lauren Chandler's involved. And I look at these ladies and I think, you know what? You guys like had an idea and you just ran with it. Mm. And that speaks so much to me as a woman, as someone who has a career and is mothering four children, that they are making big, big things happen. I have some friends here in Austin, Jessica Honegger and Micah May, that both run businesses here and they both love Jesus. And I learn from them all the time about the balance of being a woman and having a business and parenting a bunch of kids and being a wife and being a friend. And how do we put all of those things in our life and how do we make them all work? And so I think I just try to look around and be like, okay, this woman, you're doing great things for the kingdom and you're also doing great things here, like it's all for the kingdom, you know what I mean? But you're also, you know, running a business or starting a conference, and you're also a really good mom and a really good wife. And so those are the people that I want to watch. And so those are the people that come to my mind that I'm learning from. Women just doing big things for all parts of their life.
Now, in regards to kind of taking it to that next level of learning from them, obviously there's a lot of people that we can observe, right? And we have people that we personally know, and also those that we know via podcasts, and we know via interviews, and we know via... So what kind of advice or encouragement would you give our listeners to learn both from those who are afar in that same way and also those who are closer to them?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I get the a privilege, and this may not be for all of your listeners, that everybody I just listed, I actually know them personally, have their phone numbers, could call them, could have lunch with them. And for some people, they would be, oh, I'm learning from them from afar, like you said. But I think it's important to find people in our world that we have access to easily, not just on the internet. So people who are in your churches, in your companies, in your the world that you live in, and they might be three steps ahead of you in whatever it might be, whether that's mothering, whether that's a business, whether that's just they've been walking with Jesus for 10 years longer than you have. And I always say, find those people, watch them, latch onto them, ask them questions, try to get them involved in your life, because I think that we can really learn from people who are a little bit ahead of us. And actually, those people that you're learning from, if they love Jesus, they're going to want to pour into you. They're going to be honored that you're saying, hey, I see the way you're doing. I see the way you handle your children or your company. Or can you teach me more about how you're studying the Bible these days? They're going to want that to be an overflow of what they're doing. And so I would say this, watching people online is fine, but people put online what they want you to see. So there's that. But watching people in real life, that's where you get to really see what's happening in the world. And so I say, real life friends, real life people that you can learn from are better even than just online people.
That's good. So good.
Yeah.
All right. So I do want to follow up that with on that question before we move into the next. So that is, well, it really probably depends on the type of relationship. That could be formal or informal. For a lot of us, that's going to be probably a little bit more informal. Are there formal channels of learning that you're currently pursuing, or, you know, things like courses, books, anything like that, that you are working on?
You know, I did a course in the fall. It was totally business minded, and it was about email lists. And so that is a course that I took that I invested the time in to do. And one of my friends has created it, and she has this course that you can go through. As far as learning, are you like Bible study wise as well? Are you talking that or just business?
Anything?
Yeah. So that was what I invested in myself as a business person in the fall. And then I was going to talk to you about this a little bit later, but I have a group of girls that I meet with every Wednesday out here in the town that I live in. None of them go to my church, and it's been really a refreshing time for me because I don't, this is maybe anti the podcast, I don't feel like they're looking at me as a leader, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that's
and
awesome.
So I get to go and just be a part. You know, I think that when they found out, I didn't know all of them except for two when it started. And I think when they found out what I did, they're like, oh, then you should lead us. And I was like, well, I just like, I like being here with you guys. I like being someone who sits and learns from all of that you guys are doing. And so that's been really valuable for me in the past probably 6 or 7 months, is that Wednesday morning Bible study with girls out here who don't go to my church and didn't even know who I was before I showed up.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge, because as leaders, and especially if you are a leader who's, you know, type A, get going, take charge, it's so important to be in environments where you are a learner and you're not always leading.
Yeah. Because, and I think I am that type A. I am, let's what's my to-do list? What can I need to do? And, you know, Aaron and I moved out of the city about 2.5 years ago. So I work, my office is on our property. So literally, you guys, I could go an entire week and never leave my house. I mean, I do, but you know what I mean? Like my work is here, and then my kids get off the bus. So we're here, and then our sports are out here in our city.
Yeah.
And so it's been, I started to notice, I think I'm out of touch with real people that I can touch. Like I impact a lot of people who listen to me. And so it's been really good to get in a room with women that I can like literally hold their hands and pray, and not just lead them through a podcast.
That is good. Good, good. All right. I'm going to move us into question two now. What is the main point of emphasis for your leadership, either yourself, your team? Like, what's your main point of emphasis with your leadership right now?
You know, this is an interesting question because sometimes I feel as though I kind of work in this bubble. And, you know, I mentioned my office is on our property. So I come out here and I'll write or I'll do my podcasts or create things out here. And then I just go home. And it can feel as though a different kind of role of leadership, as in I'm not actually looking anyone in the eyes today and leading them. And although I do have a team of people who help, and so I do lead them as well. But I think for me, when I think about leadership and I think about my podcast or even book writing or traveling around and speaking, I think I get just a small amount of time with people's attention every single week. So I get 45 minutes into their headphones every single week. And so for me to be able to lead them is I'm really thinking a lot about who I put on my show. Mm. And so we've gone round and round and round about how do we pick our guests for the happy hour? And we've had a lot of internal conversations about that. But for me, I think if these women who are listening every week, they're trusting me, does everyone I put in front of them have to have the exact same, you know, beliefs 100% as I do? We're having those questions. We're having those conversations. But for me, one of the things that we're really talking about these days is we want to be able to say that if I'm leading you through a podcast, which feels weird, but I guess we'll go with it, that I want to be able to confidently say that when I put a guest out here, that I'm confident with what we're going to talk about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's more thinking about we're looking right now is how does our content, and that would be a podcast for me, how is that lining up with what I want women to hear these days?
Yeah. And that requires a lot of work. That requires work to be in tune with your audience. That requires, you know, and another way to put it is in tune with those that you're leading, right? Because it's funny, you say you only have about 45 minutes a week with, I mean, that's more time than most sermons.
Right.
At least it should be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It should be, right?
Did I say that out loud? I do think that's interesting, especially today in a period of time where there's rapid change happening from a society standpoint and from a church practice standpoint, because a person who you're aligned with today, you may not be aligned with them later on. And you have to, I think all that has to be weighed into consideration because, you know, if you're looking at a potential partnership, author, whoever, just understanding where that person really is, it does take a lot of work to figure out.
It does take a lot of work. And you're very right about that, is that things can change pretty quickly. And so I think while we're having these conversations, we're also trying to think about how do we be more vocal in a very positive and encouraging and affirming way of what we believe in here at the Happy Hour. And so maybe I do have a guest that I've had on the show that we wouldn't align anymore on, you know, very foundational things with the Christian belief, but I can still say that I've done everything I can so that my listener knows, well, this is where Jamie stands on that, if that makes sense. Because
no, it makes total
you're right.
Sense.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Awesome. Let's move to question three, which is really about daily habits. And if you can share with us maybe about two or three things that you find yourself absolutely having to do on a daily basis and what benefit they have.
Other than reading the Bible or coffee.
Yes. Other than reading your Bible. We're just not, we're going to leave that out, right?
Yeah, like, that's assumed. So
everyone wants to be like that. That's the first one. You know, I'm going to talk about a couple things. And remember, I work from home all by myself in an office. And so I know that some of your listeners are not going to understand this, but there are going to be some that are be like, yes, I get it. And this sounds so dumb, you guys. And I feel almost embarrassed looking at you guys when I say this. But one of the things that I have started doing that has really, really, really helped me work well, this is so dumb, you guys, is to actually shower and get ready for the day before I go into my office. Okay. Now, see, y'all don't even know what I mean because you go into an office every day. But there are so many
women out
there.
Yeah, but Daniel doesn't shower.
There are so many women out there who are doing amazing things like from their house. And I feel like it's made me feel as though, okay, I'm going into work. I'm going in to do my job. And so that is, I just had to say it for the women out there that are doing great things in their home, is that sometimes it just helps you get more work done if you act like you're going to work. So there's that.
I'm glad you said that.
No, that's really
No. I'm glad you said that.
Oh, we've done how many episodes, and nobody's ever said anything like that.
No. This is great.
That's awesome. I shower and get dressed.
And because this is a Skype interview, we can see you, and you are clearly not wearing PJs. So
no, yep.
But you know what? When you
earrings, when you, like you're ready, man.
Yeah,
ready.
Yeah, so that's awesome. No, I appreciate that.
I am glad that I am the first one. And when I tell my husband, Aaron, later that this is one of the things I told y'all, he's going to be like, this is all you could come up with to tell him. I'm like, no, I thought about this earlier. And I was like, women need to hear that it matters. Okay, so.
Tell him it was much more insightful than he or Matt did during the interview.
Thank you. But for people who work from home, it does help you with, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to do a job. Another thing that is really helpful for me as a leader, I do have people that work with me. Some people I contract out, but I have one specific person who, she was first my friend and now she is just does everything. She handles all of our live events. She is my assistant. I bounce ideas off of her. She's a really, really big influence on what we put out here at Everything Ivy Media. And so one of the really important things for me is she's my friend first. And so a lot of times I will check in with her, not from a work standpoint and not just with the to-do list, but like, hey, how are things working out? How is this working? What can I do for you? How can I be a better, I hate saying boss because we're like friends first, but how can I be a better leader for you? And I think it's important for us sometimes to stop when we're leading people and they might work for us to not just give to-do lists every day and here's what I need to get done, but to actually say, is there anything else I can do for you on a personal level that doesn't involve anything work-related? And I don't know that that happens on a daily basis for me, but there are times when I need to switch over and say, okay, let's just have a conversation about how are your kids? How is this happening? How's your time in the Word? All those kind of things. It actually helps me feel like I am leading her, not just as my employee, but as we're on the mission together.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge because especially if you are a type A personality and work is life, life is work, and you enjoy who you're working with and you enjoy talking about work, it's so easy to neglect that personal side of things. And I mean, in turn, it's easy to neglect, but it's also easy to kind of hide as a result because you're not talking about it.
Totally. So that's really important for me as I'm leading just a small couple of people who are helping me out on a daily basis.
Good deal. All right. What does leadership in your home look like?
Leadership in my home. Well, this is where I get to redeem myself with Aaron, since I told y'all that one of the best things I do is just shower and get dressed every day. I actually cannot wait till he listens to this, you guys. He's just going to die. So leadership in our home, I am extremely, extremely grateful that I have an extremely godly, amazing husband who leads our family very well. One of the things that Aaron and I have dealt with in the past couple of years is after all of our kids went to school, our youngest is now in fourth grade, is that I actually stepped into more of a leadership role where I get to, not within our home, but where I get to write books and work every day and travel and speak. And so that has been an adjustment that our families had to make of mom travels sometimes and mom goes to work every day and mom might have to do this. And Aaron has been nothing but supportive of that entire journey. And so what I love about just our relationship within our house is that we are such a great team together. He is supportive of me and I am supportive of him. And it almost, our goal is to be Aaron couldn't find a bigger fan of Aaron Ivy than me. And I don't hope I can ever find a bigger fan of Jamie Ivy than my husband. And so he leads us really well. He leads our kids well. He is stepping in. I've seen him, when our kids were younger, he's a phenomenal mentor and discipler of people who are also worship leaders. It's one of his greatest giftings. And I've seen him walk through life with a couple of guys super closely. And my most favorite thing that I'm getting to see right now is we have a 14-year-old son. And so they are developing this relationship where Aaron is getting to disciple and mentor him just as though I watched him do to other guys years ago. It's really cool to see because I benefit from Aaron mentoring and discipling our 14-year-old son. So
that's really good. So for other listeners who have you know, them and their spouse, they're, you know, both are working in the home and with kids' travel schedules. I mean, you know, soccer, school, extracurriculars, just everything, plus what both of y'all are doing. How do you guys balance that in just, what kind of family rhythms do you guys have as a result?
You know, now that our kids are older, we have three boys in middle school, which means they all have activities. Yeah. Like last, I'll give you an example. Last night, I went to three different practice facilities in one night, and Aaron went to another one. I mean, you know, so it's like all hands on. The way that we really have started managing that a little bit better is from we really, really value our time at home at night. Mm. And so it's going to be hard for you to find me doing something during the week that doesn't involve my family, because I know that, you know, this weekend I'm gone for 2 days. And so these nights are really important to us. And so we balance those a lot with Aaron and I. You know, he's about to leave for 2 weeks. And so I'm doing every role here. And next month I'm gone for a week on a book tour. And so he's doing all of the roles. And so we really, really sit back and we look at our calendars a lot and say, what are the things that we have to do? What are the things that we need to do? And then the wants, you kind of just kind of fill those in when you can find a place for them. But we really, really in this season of our life value every single second we get with our kids. Because you guys, my son's in eighth grade, which means in 4 years he's gone to college and then he's leaving and we'll never see him again. And
my wife holds on to our son. We have an 8-year-old, 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, 2 girls and a boy. And she holds on to the son and she's like, I don't want you to ever leave.
Just be careful.
Because
you could end up, I am T minus like 20 days from another one.
Yeah.
Baby girl.
I could literally just cry about that. But on the other hand, our kids, you know, we were talking about it one time and like, well, you're going to miss us or what are y'all going to do? Y'all going to have anything to do? And we're like, are you kidding? We're going to do so much stuff. You guys are going to be so jealous at all the things that we're doing when you guys are all gone from our house.
Wait, Mom, you weren't supposed to say it like that. You're supposed to be a bit more regretful.
I'll just chat for a little bit. And then Mom and Dad, you don't worry. We will be fine.
That's awesome.
Good deal. All right, let's move on to question 5. And that is, what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
Yeah, this is a really good question because, well, when I was 20, I was not even following Jesus. So that's really, really funny to me to think about leadership then because it would have not have looked like what I'm leading now. But what I do think a lot about when people are younger and they're stepping into a leadership role is especially in the time that we live in now, when what we see online, it looks as though everyone's doing something that we wish we were doing,
right?
Or that we wish we had this platform, or we wish we had this book deal, or we wish we had this podcast guest. It's super easy to look around and think, if only I could lead like this person, or only if I was leading these people. And one thing that I love telling younger up and coming leaders is to trust the people that God has put in front of you, to trust the people that God has entrusted into your leadership because they matter and they are of value. A lot of times people will think, man, you know what? I could be a really good leader. I could do big things if I just had, you know, 1,000 more blog readers of a day, or if I could just start that podcast like you have. And basically what you're doing is you're looking at the people that God has put in front of you and saying, you guys don't really matter, but when I get more people, I'm going to step into a better leadership role. Mm. And I just want to encourage people, the people that God has in front of you, for some women that are listening, since I'll bring your women listeners over today, for some women that are listening, it could be the 4 people that you're feeding Cheerios to in the morning. That is actually who you're leading. And that is who God has put in front of you at this moment. For some people, it is, man, you have a church, you're a church plant, and you've now grown to like 78 people, but you think, golly, if we could just have 200 people. Well, what you're saying is you 78 don't matter. And when the rest of the people show up, then this will be a good thing. And I just want us to lead who God puts in front of us. And when we do that, then we're faithful with what he's called us to. And we're faithful with the people that he's entrusted into our leadership. That's what I would tell my 20-year-old self and probably my 30-year-old self. So there's that.
All right. Well,
drop the mic.
I like that. That was pretty good.
Pretty good?
That's pretty good. Yeah. I think, let's close in prayer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously, like we've talked about it a time or two before. And, you know, Brad, I don't know if you know Brad Lominick, but he's a fairly frequent person around our office and on our podcast. And one of the things I always appreciate him telling young leaders is, you know, if you crush the now, it's going to lead to your next. So don't worry about what's coming up next. Don't worry about what's in front of you. Just like you said, be faithful with what you have, and you're gonna find that next. One of the things I think that's important is, you know, you bring up in your book that, you know, the failure. I think it's actually a chapter title, like failure leads to freedom, or you find the failure you have. If you find your faithfulness in Christ, it does lead to freedom. Is that it?
Something like that. That sounds good. Yeah. From freedom to failure is a chapter. From failure to freedom is a chapter. I think that might be what you're referencing. Yeah.
That is. So talk about how failure plays into failure while you're young leads into character forming leadership and what it prepares you for.
Yeah. So in my book, I talk about early in my life, I wasn't following him. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, I knew a lot about God, but I did not know him or trust him or believe him as my savior for many, many years. And within those years, I made some choices that had some pretty hard consequences. One of those being is I got pregnant when I was in college. And so that failure, we'll call it that failure, that mistake that led to a consequence of being pregnant. And then I lost the baby through a miscarriage. What happened even that gets worse than that is a little, you know, is that after I started following Jesus, it was a rocky road for me. I mean, I started following him, but I had been living a life for myself for a long time. And so I had another failure that led to a consequence. And I actually got pregnant twice. And so, but what happened that second time when I got pregnant is that I trusted how much God loved me then, and I trusted him. And I had made a terrible mistake one time that led to an awful consequence. But the difference that happened in my life that time is that where the first time I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I felt bad because my parents were gonna be mad at me, and I knew that it was wrong, whatever. The second time, the difference in my attitude towards God after that was I knew that I had sinned, and I knew that I had messed up. And I had this, my guilt was not because I was gonna get in trouble, but it was a guilt that led me to repentance. And so when I failed that second time and I was following Jesus, the forgiveness and love became something that I had never experienced before. Because when I knew that he died on the cross and forgive me for my sins, and I knew that we could have this abundant life. But then when I screwed up really big another time, pretty soon after starting to follow him, it was for the first time that I felt, okay, this is real. Like I am repented of this. He has given me his forgiveness. He loves me. And that has spurred me on. And just when I talk to women, I'll give you an example. On Tuesdays, I serve at my local jail. I was just there before. That's another reason I'm dressed as well. But I was just there talking to these women. And you know what? They are living they have consequences for their actions. They're incarcerated. They're in jail. But I get to tell them, hey, I know what it feels like to screw up and have God still say that he loves you. Although by the grace of God, I never ended up in jail. I still understand what that feels like. And so from that form of leadership role that I get to do every single Tuesday with these ladies is I get to say, I get it. I understand. And here's what I felt when that happened. And here's how God showed up. And here's how God has continued to show up in my life since then. And so do we all wish we didn't have failure? Yes, of course. Who likes to fail? Who wants to sin? Who wants all these things? We try our hardest not to. But what's great about our God is that, he takes those things in our life that we wish we could never do and that we could change. And then he gets glory through himself, through the forgiveness that we have. And so that has really been something that I get excited about talking with women about, is just God has not left you. God is forgiving and God loves you, even though you feel like, oh my gosh, I have done it again, whatever it might be.
Yeah. That is awesome. Well, thank you, Jamie, for being on the podcast with us. Once again, it's National Tell a Friend About a Podcast Day. So the happy hour with Jamie Ivy. Her book is If You Only Knew. Be sure to go to lifeway.com/leadership for all the show notes. Thanks again for being on, Jamie.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.